Maybe you're here this morning and you're absolutely miserable. I think there comes times in our life that we get to that place. In some cases, it's things that happen in our life. And I'll just go ahead and give the definition. But just as grace is an aspect of God's love that moves Him to forgive us, those who are miserable may either be there because of the breaking of God's law or because of sin, or we may be in a miserable state because of circumstances beyond our control. There's sometimes we have things happen in our life we don't have any control over. How many has ever had that happen in your life? It still doesn't mean that we don't have a place in our life that we just basically come to the place that we're miserable. They're just things that happen that puts us in that place in this life. And realizing this, when you've got the Lord on your side, there's no reason to be overwhelmed by the cares of this life. There's no reason to find yourself in a miserable state of mind, because how many's glad His mercy endured forever? Praise God. Fresh every morning. Are you glad for that in your life today? But there's things that happen that we can't control. There's things that happen that a lot of times we can control. There, in verse 21, I just want to read again. He said, "This I recall in my mind. Therefore have I hope." Maybe somebody's here this morning. I don't question God when He says to preach something. Maybe you're here and you seem like you don't have the hope that you should have in this life. And as Jeremiah spoke in my mind, I realize I do have hope. Can I tell you this morning, brother and sister, sir and ma'am, you have hope only through Jesus Christ. Are you glad for that hope we have through? He said, it's because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not, and they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Can I tell you something right there? I believe that place. Now, you know, you realize we Pentecostals, we kind of like to shout once in a while. And I tell you what, when it's done according to God's word, I think it's very appropriate in God's eyes for us to give the Lord a shout. How many is with me? And I can tell you right now that when He come to us and brought it to our attention, that we have hope, that His mercy is the only reason that we... His mercy is the only reason we're not consumed. And every morning His mercies are renewed and refreshed. How many is glad for that this morning? Let's give the Lord another clap of praise in this house. Things that happen in your life that you can't control. Things that come your way that you don't plan on. That's when you need the mercies of God. Now, we can be very obvious about this, and without camping here on sin for very long, if we go according to and contrary to the word of God, there's no wonder you're miserable. If we know to do good and do it not, then therefore the word said it is sin. If I know what I am doing is wrong, I can tell you, you can run to California and you can go to the East Coast and you can go to Alaska and you can run down to Mexico and keep on running. You'll never find that peace. You'll always be in a miserable state, because God's mercy will be upon you when you call on Him. But until you and I realize we're going contrary to the word of God, contrary to what God wants us to do, we're not going to find that peace. But He just said He still has mercies on us, even though when we do things wrong willfully. We're going to have an advocate with the Father, get things fixed back up, get the blood applied, and realize that we are still one of His children. Are you glad you're one of His? Amen. He's glad for the mercies of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love Him this morning, don't you? Feel good in my soul, thankful for what He's doing in my life and what He's doing in your life. And you need to realize this, for those of you that might be here, and I believe you're here and I believe you're miserable, or God wouldn't have said to preach this. I believe you're here and you're miserable. You don't know which way to go. You've prayed. You can't seem to get over it. And it seems like when you gain a little bit, you lose more than you gain. Anybody with me? I believe I'm speaking to you by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You need to realize that God's mercy is with you every morning. Amen. God's mercy is not ran off. It's not scared. It's not God's aspect of love for you. It's not ran off because you've made a mistake and because you've tried and failed. God's mercy is refreshed for you every morning. He is grateful. He is faithful. He is a just God, and He is with you. Give the Lord another praise in this house. You're miserable. Miserable. But I got the answer for you this morning. His mercy is your answer. If we received what we deserved, I preached on grace a couple weeks ago. If we received what we deserved, none of us would be here today. I sure can't stand up here and tell you, well, just because of who I am or because of what I can do, because of my talents, because of my looks or whatever the case may be, I can never merit grace. I can never say I've got it right here in the bag because of who I am. I've got mercy because of He loves me. Not because I get what I deserve, because He loves me. Are you glad that He loves you this morning? Let's flip over to James chapter 5. Praise God. Boy, I like that Lamentations verse. If I was you, I'd mark that, go back and quote that every once in a while. Here's what I'm going to talk about on the title of this. And here, I always like to have something to go back to me. When you are in a miserable state, when you're in a place that you don't feel victory, because how many knows victory's sweet? When you're in that place that you don't feel that victory, you don't can't even see that victory, can't even imagine that victory, just kind of ask the devil, so what about mercy? What about it? Because when you're setting up and you're going along your day and you begin to have all these things running through your mind, you begin to think of all these times you failed, begin to think of all these things you should have done that you didn't do. Just cry out, say, what about mercy? Renewed every morning. Hallelujah. That's God's love for me. Amen. Are you glad for mercy this morning? Praise God. You need to hear this today in James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful. Translate that, He's got a great compassion for you. Very pitiful and of tender mercy. Above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but yet your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye should fall into condemnation. I believe what he is actually saying, go ahead and read verse 13. He said, if any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is he married? Let him sing psalms. Amen. I think what Paul is trying to say here is, listen, his mercy, praise God, and his tender mercy, he has a compassion for you. Let your nay be nay, your yea be nay. Don't you be distracted. Don't you put anything else above God. It's him and it's him only. Amen. How many is glad that when you and I sell out to God, we have something on our side. We have a victory. The world can't give us. We have a joy that can't be bought. How many has tried to buy joy? You ever seen any ad come out for joy? I ain't talking about dishwashing liquid. Anybody ever seen? There's some of you ladies, probably no doubt. You grab those flyers that come out in Sunday's paper. You go to cutting up them coupons and so on and so forth. And don't forget this: you can go to Walmart and you can comp it. I think that's a bunch of nonsense. Walmart ought to be cheaper than anybody else. He didn't have to comp it. That's just carnal talk there. I'll get back to preaching. You grab those things, and I can tell you right now, you've not found one flyer out there. You've not thumbed through one flyer that says, come between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock at Home Depot or Walmart, and you can receive some victory. You've not found one coupon out there that clips and says, I'll give you 50% of mercy off. Amen. You won't find those things out there in this world, but you'll find those things when you walk through the doors of a church house. When you drive down the road in your car and you begin to call out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, His mercy is renewed in the mornings. His compassion for you is what you can't imagine. It goes beyond what you know and what you can understand. His tender mercy and His love for you is what God has done for you. Why? Because He loves you. Give the Lord another clap of praise this time. He's worthy of our victory. He's worthy of our joy. He's the one that brings it to you. It's not anything you can do. You'll never deserve mercy. You'll never deserve grace. You receive it because He loves you. Only because He loves you. Romans chapter 9. How many's loving the Lord this morning? My Lord, I've still got 20, 30 minutes here. Woo! How many loves Him this morning? Ninth chapter of Romans. Verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God which showeth mercy. God's the one giving you this mercy. God's the one that's going to extend his mercy to you today in this service if you so reach out, because you're miserable. God loves you this morning in this day you're walking in right now. He said in verse 17, he said, "For the scripture saith to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore have he mercy to whom he have mercy, and to whom he will, he hardeneth." Now let's just camp there just for a moment. He'll have mercy on us. How many knows that? We can go back in scriptures and find this out. For those that continue to reject God, if you could have a conversation with Pharaoh, I got a feeling the first or second time Moses went up and said to him, said, "The Lord said for me, tell you, let my people go." How many remembers that scripture? I got a feeling if you had could talk to Pharaoh right now, he'd say, "I should have done what he said." But he decided he wasn't going to do that. So he continued on because he was somebody. Who was Moses? Couldn't even talk plain, scripture says. Who's Moses to tell him that he is need to turn God's people loose? Well, Moses told him, the Lord said, how many remembers what the Lord said to him? Moses said, "What am I going to tell them whenever they say, who sent you?" He said, "Tell them that I am sent you." Amen. I mean, he's glad the I am is still sending folks today. Praise God. See, Pharaoh was not accountable to Moses. Pharaoh was accountable to God. Hey, amen. Folks come to the church house. They hear the preacher preach. They say, "Well, I don't believe that's sin." Can I tell you right now? You're not accountable to what I say. You're accountable to this word. Hey, amen. I try with all my being, every fiber of my body, to preach what this word says. But I can make a mistake. You don't answer to me. You'll answer to God. Sister Marty brought it out in her Sunday school class. I think she said her dad said this. Once you know it, you're accountable. Hello. Is that a good place to clap? How about an attitude check? When we hear it and when we read it, we're accountable. Praise God. We'll get over into some more of those guys needing mercy here just a minute. I'm glad today he said that through this, he said, "I will show mercy to them, and then to whom I will harden." I've made this statement in the last few weeks, Brother Elder, and I believe it's going to come to pass. And this is just 80 chapter 1, verse 2. I believe what we're going to see in the next few months, few years, who knows when the Lord's going to come back. I believe we're going to see those that are not really truly serving God. They're just out there going through some motions. And some are out there just not, they're not even no closer to God as that chair is right there. They're just a fake and a false doctrine of the devil. Hello? And I think what we're going to see a separating time coming in this world. He said, "I'm going to start hardening some hearts." I believe those that's been playing with God, those that's come to the church like services like this, and God's dealt with them, and they said, "Well, another time, I don't have time. I'll surrender to God some other time when it's convenient." Can I tell you? You're not going to find a convenient time to serve God. There's always going to be something in your life that's going to hinder you and say, "Well, I don't need to do this. I can't let go of that." It's time to serve God. God will turn the world over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. They'll think everything's okay. How many have read that scripture? Separating time's coming. He said, "I'm going to harden some hearts." Pharaoh's heart was hardened. It got to a point in his life that there was no way he could do anything because God had hardened his heart. And what happened then? Plagues come upon him. After plague, after plague, after plague. This world has made a decision not to choose God's way, but to choose their way. And that's what's going to happen in America. You say you're a gloom and doom preacher. Read the scriptures. God's no respecter person. If he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he'll destroy America. Preaching good now, ain't he? He's merciful. He's given us time right now to turn to God. If my people, which are called by my name, will turn to me, he said, I'll heal your land. I'll do a work in your life. Put in my own words, I'll do something for you when you turn back to me. Miserable because we're going against God's word. I'll tell you why pastors are falling by the wayside, because they're failing. They're not able to stand. They're depressed. They're discouraged. Now, you said, don't say that, preacher, to come on you. It still ain't going to change the truth. When we're not sold out to God and we're not serving Him with our whole heart, we got problems coming our way. Miserable. Jeremiah, or the Lord said, John said, the Lord said in Revelations, He said, rather be hot or cold. Serve Him. His mercy is right there. Are you glad for the mercies of God? Let's look over. I'm getting closer here. In Ephesians chapter 2, I have no doubt you're here and you're miserable. I'm just glad for the mercies of God. Woo, glory. You can't do it yourself. It's going to take God doing it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. According as He has chosen us to Him before the foundation of the world. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong spot. You don't care if I get in chapter 2, do you? Pause, Brother Darrell. Back up. Rewind. Verse 4, chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. My Lord, that's some strong stuff. That's some exciting things right there. And has raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whew. Are you glad for the mercies of God? I'm glad for them, aren't you? Does anybody feel like the Lord's on your side? I believe He is, don't you? I don't only believe He is, I know He is. He's with me. But preacher, you don't have a clue where I've been or what I've done. Maybe that's what you're saying this morning. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm just glad for that. Experiencing His mercy. There was a man in the Bible that we've talked about quite a bit. This man's name was David. He became a powerful man. He started off just as a young boy, and God began to use him and killed a lion, killed a bear. That was pretty good, wasn't it? That's probably bragging rights. You gotta be careful what you brag on. Best not to brag. Uh-oh. Anyway, then he killed a Goliath. Powerful man, wasn't he? He began to get on the uprise there. He done some good things when he was young and powerful things through God, but things began to happen. He began to grow. God had His hand. So I think Mr. Martin said this morning, a man after God's own heart, or somebody said this morning, a man after God's own heart. And it certainly wasn't because he was a perfect man, was it? You're miserable this morning. Don't forget this. And this man was somebody that God had called and also had empowered him to defeat the enemy of His people. The unbeatable was beaten by this boy. And I said, boy. He was a boy then. He was just about 14 years old. I described him as old Josh. Stand up here, Josh, you old King David. He's 15, I know that. Here's old King David. Look like a king to you? Woo, stand up here, King. He done great things when he was that age. He began to grow. God continued to move in his life, and probably had some times of complacency in his life. Probably had some times of, you know, it's kind of hard not to kind of get to think about what's accomplished. Are you with me? And then sometimes there are just things that, you know, happen. It distracts us, and then the next thing you know, it kind of turned around for a few years down the road, and just as God had said, this boy that killed the lion, the bear, and Goliath, this boy becomes a king. He becomes, my Lord, right up there. He hit the top of the chain up there. Maybe you've been through life, you've had tough times come, you've made mistakes, you've went here, you've went there, and you've got, you know, you've arrived, and then things begin to happen, and the next thing you know, things begin to change. Are you hearing me? Don't forget His mercy. And this king that had killed the lion, killed the bear, was God's man, took the stone, threw the stone, the little old slang, and killed the 10-foot giant and brought his people back. This man began to get in a place of complacency, and he found himself on the rooftop looking over across his kingdom there, and he should have been out fighting the fight. And he was right out there, he looks, and he sees Bathsheba down there, and lust begins to come on in his life. He calls for her to come to him because he was the king. He calls for her to come to him, and they have a relationship that was absolutely out of God's will. She becomes pregnant. He comes on this plan to get rid of her husband. And the list goes on and all these same. Remember, this is the same man I'm talking about here. So what are you saying, preacher? Jonathan came to him and said, look, he described David to a T. He said, what would you do about this man, David? In fact, what would you do? He said, have him killed. That was David's mercy. That was David's, King David's thinking. But God's mercy goes beyond our thinking. That wasn't God's plan. God's mercy would begin to endure in David's life. David fell down. He began to cry out. He repented immediately of his sin. Did he have consequences? Sin brings consequences. He had consequences in his life. But there was something happened in his life right there when he cried out to God. God, forgive him right there. Man doesn't forgive, but God does. God's mercies continued on moving in David's life. Amen. Praise God. David was continuing to be God's man. Horrific things come through his life. Sorrow come through his lineage. Because of sin. But that sin didn't stop mercy. We'll go read a scripture. Psalms 23. Come here, Mark. Come here, Bobby. This is my illustration I love. I love this illustration. How you doing, goodness? What about you? You mercy?
Hallelujah.
Good to see you.
Great to be here. Whew.
Man, these boys are with me. David said this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. I don't deserve this. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, but for his name's sake. But David still can't forget what he's done. Anybody with me? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What are you boys doing? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. But don't forget, I failed God. I failed him. Oh, you're here miserable. They're still with me. They won't leave me. Oh, come on, somebody lift your hands and praise him in this house. He said, I'll prepare a table before him in the presence of my enemy. God's still on David's side. Even though David was an adulteress, a murderer, praise God, he was still God's man. I can tell you right now, you're still God's man. You're still God's woman. Oh, David said, there's a preparing an enemy. Oh, but he said, verse 6, surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Why are you guys still with me? I don't deserve it, but I can tell you right now, goodness and mercy is with you this morning. It doesn't matter what the world says to you. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've said. It matters about where you're at right now. Praise God. Coming back to God is where you need to be. Whew. Somebody stand and give the Lord a praise in this house. Come on, church. Mercy. Mercy is what you need and what you've got. You can't run from it. You can't get away from it. But the mercies of God endure it forever. They're fresh every morning in your life. Praise God. He is faithful and he is just. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't deserve it, but he give it to me. Whew. Come on, get a song this morning. Somebody needs to experience some mercy here today. You're miserable. You're miserable. But I'm telling you right now, you're miserable because you're listening to everything around you. You're not listening to what the Word of God says. He said, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of the enemy. I'll be with you. Praise God. You go through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll be with you. Surely, goodness and mercy is following you all the days of your life. Dwell in the house of God. Whew. Praise Him again, church. He's worthy. Whew. Hallelujah. God's speaking to you this morning. He's speaking to you this morning. You need to step out of your pew. You need to step out and say, I realize I don't deserve it, but I realize His surely His goodness and His mercy is for me this morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, right now, complete this work today in this house. My Lord, right now, it's Your mercy, the aspect of Your love in this house right now. Lord, those that might be here miserable, don't know which way to go, don't know what to do, Lord, Your grace and Your mercy's here. Hallelujah. If they don't know You as their Savior, pray, Lord, right now that they give You give them the strength and desire to step out. Come to this old-fashioned altar and commit their life to You in this house right now. Praise Your name, Lord. Miserable, but God, Your mercy is what's going to give them strength. It's refreshed every morning in their lives. And she begins to sing. I preached my heart to you this morning. Step out. And as you step out of that aisle, get a visual of this. As you step out of that aisle this morning, goodness and mercy is going to be following you just like they did me. Whew. Somebody give the Lord a clap of praise in this house.